Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:11, and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 24th. And this was a big day for the commodity markets, and you can see the chart here of copper, which is up 6 cents and topping, perhaps not topping, but closing at its highest level in quite some time. It has spiked higher than 270 over the last few months, but it has not closed at this high. And when we look at that on a weekly chart, then we can quite clearly see that this was a pretty orderly consolidation following an emphatic breakout, and there is the real prospect that the copper price can break on the upside. At the other end of the scale, and copper certainly falls into the same category as zinc, as tin, aluminium, but nickel has suffered from the easing of export restrictions in Indonesia. It is currently trading below the 10,000 level, but this is a rather important psychological level overall. So there is the prospect that it bounces from this level. It is the main underperformer in the metals index, or the London metals index, at present. The LME metals index gives us at least some, I think, insight into part of the reason that the continuous commodity index is performing so well. The oil price has been largely range-bound, but the continuous commodity index has broken its progression of lower rally highs. It is now testing the recovery peak that it put in the middle of last year, and this has been a very orderly consolidation. So what we are now starting to see is increased interest in the commodity sector on a much more broadly based perspective. For example, coffee prices have staged a pretty impressive rebound, although they were a little bit weaker today. And what I think are perhaps more interesting are those that have got the large oversold conditions, or the large overextensions relative to their trend means, such as cocoa, which has lost downward momentum and has got a rather large overextension relative to its trend mean. And it is a pretty similar story with orange juice as well. It has got this very deep oversold condition following what has been a precipitous decline. I think some people will be looking perhaps back at the 2012 big pullback and saying, well, perhaps this is another one of those. But those kinds of very large declines don't happen all that often, and it is oversold in the short term, and it has at least closed off its low today. And it is trading in backwardation. It may require a contract change before you get a real change in sentiment towards the outlook, but I think it is becoming increasingly interesting. When you get these very rapid moves, then they generally tend to give way to short covering rallies eventually. The big news today, though, was that the dollar index bounced from the region of 100, not in a particularly dynamic fashion, but it certainly steadied. It took some of the impetus out of the gold market, and gold prices were down about $10, and we can see that there has been something of a loss of momentum. There have been two down days in the last week, which is the first, which were really the only two down days that we'd seen in consecutive weeks for the last six. So there is now the potential that we get some consolidation, and I think something we've been mentioning in practically every audio is that gold, it has been engaged in a mean reversion rally, that it is now pretty close to approximating the region of the trend mean, and this is a natural area for some consolidation. But it wasn't the same story right across the precious metals sector. Platinum was up $20 today and closed at the round 1,000 level. It hasn't been at this level since November. It is trading back above the trend mean. In fact, if we look at it just over the last few weeks, then it has spent the last 2 weeks consolidating just below the 1000 level, it really does need to improve upon this performance tomorrow to confirm that it is going to be able to sustain a move back above 1000. And it is just trading below 1000 as I speak right now. If it can do that, then we could very easily be back in a demand-dominated environment. Palladium is testing that 800 level. It has been the clear outperformer. It's held a progression of higher reaction lows for more than a year already. Every time it has developed one of these short-term overextensions, it has pulled back. So there is the potential for some consolidation in the region of this 800 level. But when we look at, it isn't just gold, but that when we look at precious metal investments, then gold is the one that's lagging. The rest of them are doing reasonably well, and gold shares will need to hold this move above the trend mean to really confirm and to be rather emphatic in its confirmation that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. If we fail at this level, then it will simply represent the latest in a succession of failed attempts to break the 6 month downtrend. So what happens next is important. With the dollar being a little bit firmer, it was most firm against the yen, and the yen was weaker today by over a full yen, 1.17. This is the second time it has fallen from this 112 level. And the Nikkei has been pretty resilient, but it does have this overbought condition. And the most likely scenario is that we do get some consolidation below that big psychological 20,000 level. And if the Nikkei looks on 20,000 as a big psychological level, then the Dow Jones has also paused below that big psychological 20,000 level. It was stronger in here today. If it were to rally by the same margin tomorrow, then we would be surmounting the 20,000 level. And I think that that is looking more likely than not now that the S&P 500 has done the same thing. It has pushed through to new all-time highs and breaking up and out of this very short-term range. There is increasing optimism about earnings. And then when you consider that there are corporate earnings are improving after what has been a hiatus. Let me pull up the if I can find my profit margins chart, then I can pull that over for you just to highlight just how inert the environment has been. We can see that corporate profits have been going sideways since 2012, and now they're not updated with particular regularity. The most recent data point was at the end of September, but the corporate profile is improving. Earnings are improving. There is the potential that when this is next updated, which will probably be at the end of this month, and give us a data point for December, then it may be breaking to new all-time highs. And after such a long hiatus, then some people will be thinking, wow, we are at a position where corporate profits have never been higher, and that is certainly true. But the lengthy period where corporate profits went sideways has allowed that overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound. And the last time we saw something like that was in between 1997 and 2001. If this were anything else, then we would probably be thinking that this was simply a medium-term consolidation and that there is the potential now for a break upwards and another big move on the upside, that because a range is an explosion waiting to happen. So what happens next is going to be important, because if corporate profits can indeed improve, then that will not result in a big expansion in PE ratios. The S&P 500 has has got a PE right now in the region of 21. It has, and I'm going to see how much back history I can get for this chart. Going back to 1955, we can see that it has not spent a great deal of time above 20 on any particular occasion, but that there have been periods of time when it has trended higher for sustained periods, and while those periods have generally resulted in big pullbacks, then there is the potential that if corporate profits are going to improve, then the pace with which valuations expand could moderate, and that would be really quite encouraging. The fact that the S&P 500 is breaking upwards rather than reverting back to the mean is very encouraging indeed. It would suggest that the majority of investors are looking on the potential for this year with and the potential for deregulation of the banking sector, for a fiscal stimulus, and for lower corporate taxes on a wide number of or at least and even potentially simplification of the tax code, which would be almost as good as lower taxes, then those are all very powerful potential outcomes for the stock market. And the Nasdaq, which has been the clear outperformer for much of the last, and I think it's not really an exaggeration to say that it has been the clear outperformer since 2008, is also pushing new highs. And then I think it is probably worth looking at what it exactly is that is leading it, the Nasdaq, higher. And we can see there that Tesla Motors is up 18% this year. They've finished their building their gigafactory. Illumina came out just in the last few weeks with a new architecture that could really bring in within grasp the potential for a $100 genome sequence. So, we are certainly getting a return to performance of shares that have been ranging for quite some time. And that is simply another way of looking at that. When people are at the beginning of the year, they look at something that has been underperforming, and commodities fit very well into that, and so do a number of the technology shares and the biotech sector. And I think that we are going to get that 2017 is going to be a year of quite distinct differentiation in the biotech sector, and it is. And I think that's what we're getting right now, that we're getting a reordering or a rotation in the economic parlance, or in the markets parlance. And the S&P 500 Healthcare Index is still weak, and unless it can really stage an impressive rally, it will continue to look like a developing type 3 top formation. So this is a market where there are certainly opportunities, and the fact that the broad indexes are breaking up to new high ground is really rather encouraging. And that is something that I don't think that many people would have been considering as being a real possibility before the election, but people are now pricing in that we have been through a lengthy, volatile ranging phase, and that is very discernible in the chart of the Russell 2000, where the index really did lose momentum from the beginning of 2014, and now we've had this emphatic breakout. And rather than concentrating too much on the story, a range is an explosion waiting to happen. We have had an explosive breakout, and then we have had a mild consolidation of that breakout, and now prices are firming once more, that this is a resumption of a medium-term bull market within an overall secular expansion. And that is very positive for cyclical sectors, not least because they are some of the sectors that are cheapest right now. And if that is indeed the case, we should probably look at the bond market, because bond prices were a bit weaker in here today. They have been engaged in a process of mean reversion following a very steep reaction, but their ability to rally and really rapidly close that overextension, well, that is going to become less likely if stocks can continue to improve upon their performance. The most likely scenario remains that we get some additional ranging, which would allow that overextension to close by allowing the moving average to catch up. But I think anybody looking at the weekly chart of the 10-year Treasury future can see that around the 122.5 level, there has been quite clear support in 2013 and 2014, which was immediately following the taper tantrum. If indeed we were to see a break below that level sustained, then we would have a lower low. And it wouldn't just be a lower low within the context of that moderate uptrend from 2013 onwards. It would be a lower low and would complete what is potentially a 5-year top formation. I think that is the biggest lesson that we can gain from looking at the longer term chart. It isn't that that bond yields bottomed in July of last year. It is simply that bond yields had a failed downside break within a developing base formation that has been going on for much of the last 5 years. And that is a very different conclusion. When we look at the very long-term chart, we know that this time is different from 2013 because the Fed is raising interest rates. When we look at that long-term chart, there is a very marked loss of momentum. Now, there have been marked losses of momentum previously, and most particularly between about 2003 and 2007. And the era of quantitative easing was succeeded in allowing yields to halve, allowing bond prices to go to extraordinary levels, and robbing savers of their ability to compound. If we do indeed, and I think we can see very clearly on that long-term chart that the rally in yields has broken the downward bias. It is not the most consistent 30. It's not the most consistent trend on the downside over the last 35 years. So people are going to require more evidence, and this is a developing, potentially a developing type 3 bottom. There is going to be a war going on between supply and demand. There have been people that have spent their entire careers buying the dip, and that buying the dip strategy will have to fail if they are to be proved wrong, and that the major bull market hypothesis is going to be not just challenged but countermanded. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.